Tanya for the 21st of Nisan, Chaf Aleph Nisan, is in Perek Mem Beis. It's on page 615 in Lessons in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe described the first part of the effort, the exertion that is necessary in order to actualize this das and attachment that a person can have to godliness, which enables him to serve God out of fear. The first part of the effort is removing the obstacle of the body that blocks out the inspiration and the energy of the neshama by humbling the body. The second effort is an effort with the soul itself. The effort is getting the nefesh to not resist the burden of concentration, to remain concentrated and to think deeply about the greatness of God for an hour, a great hour, for a substantial period of time. Because the amount of time necessary for this is not equal in all souls. Yesh nefesh zaka betivo. There is a soul that is by nature very refined, edel, shemiyad shemizbeinenes begdulas Hashem. And in this soul, as soon as he thinks about God's greatness, yagia eleho hayira v'pachad Hashem, immediately the neshama will feel a fear and an awe of God, because it is sensitive and it is edel. The thought of God immediately produces fear. K'meshekosa b'shulchan aruch erachayim. Siman Aleph, and it says in the Shulchan Aruch, right in the beginning, that kishi is bein in ha'adam, shehamelech ha'godil melech malchi hamlochem ha'kadosh baruch, that the great king, the king of kings, the Eibishter, Hashem Eloi kol ha'aretz kaveidei, who fills all the world, he's everywhere, eimid olah v'zeyeh b'maisov, and including also this place where the person is. He stands over him and he sees his actions. When a person considers this, miyad yagia elav hayiza, he will immediately experience a fear of God. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying that with a thought and a moment's reflection on the presence of God and the greatness of God, a person will immediately be moved to fear of God. But that is true only of a clean, innocent, sensitive, and edel neshama. Yesh nefesh shveva b'tivo v'tildoso, but there is also a nefesh that by its very nature and origin is of a lower level, because it comes from a lower level of the 10 spheres of Asiya, as we learned earlier. And therefore, this neshama can't discover, can't contact godliness in his thought without some effort. It doesn't happen as easily. Although he understands the greatness of God, it's not a question of a lack of intelligence, but even with his understanding of the greatness of God, he doesn't contact the godliness of it. He doesn't feel or react to the godliness. For that, he has to make some effort. Ubefrat, and a third condition is that particularly im hutma b'chatzis me'uzim, if the person also has sinned and has been corrupted by the sin, shehoavei neis mavdilin, the corruption is that he feels separated from godliness. He is more distant from godliness, then certainly it's going to take a great effort. That sins make it more difficult to feel godliness. And even so, even for this person, who not only has a lowly neshama, but has also corrupted it with sin, the kushiyu v'chazoko, with effort and with toil, shetischazek ma'ed machshafte, if he makes a great effort, in his thought with great diligence and great depth, l'ha megbigdulas Hashem shogdeilo, to contemplate deeply on the greatness of God for an extended period of time. This doesn't mean necessarily in one sitting, but diligently, meaning consistently, day after day, an hour today, an hour tomorrow, as the Friedrich Rebbe says. Then even the lowly neshama is bevadai tagia elav al kol ponim hayira tato hanal. He will certainly attain at least the lower level fear, which was mentioned before. The Rebbe Shlit explains that in the Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, where these subjects are discussed, we find two versions. There's the original version, and then there's the amended version. The amended version, the second version of the Shulchan Aruch, the adjusted version, is different from the original version. In the original, it says that if a person thinks about the greatness of God, if he contemplates it, he will immediately attain this fear. That obviously is a reference to that neshama that is sensitive and that comes from a higher madriga, and therefore with a minimal amount of thought and contemplation, he immediately attains this fear. But in the second version, in the second edition, the Rebbe adds, and if the person doesn't immediately feel the fear, then he should think deeply into the greatness of God, and he should also repent for his sins. So here we have all three levels of what he's saying here in Tanya, also expressed in Shulchan Aruch. In the first edition, the Rebbe is talking about the pure neshama, who with a little bit of thought immediately has the fear. And in the second edition, the Alter Rebbe adds that if it doesn't happen immediately, which means that his neshama comes from a lower level, then he has to think deeply. And if that doesn't help, then he must have also sinned, and the sins are getting in the way, so therefore he should repent for his sins, and then he will attain the fear. And this is what the sages meant, that a person who says, I have labored and I have succeeded, we are to believe him, because we're guaranteed that with a certain amount of effort, he will succeed. If you will seek godliness the way you seek money, and if you will search for it as you search for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of God. Pirush. Kederach shemachapish adam matmin ve'etzer hatomim betachti yisa'oretz. Shechefer achav b'yigiyatzumo. What does it mean to seek godliness in the way that we seek a treasure? A treasure meaning that which is hidden in the depth of the earth. It's a buried treasure. So how do you seek for it? With great effort. You have to dig, you have to exert yourself. Kein tzorich lachter b'yegia atzuma. L'galis eitzah shal yirashamayim atzofanu mustar b'dinas halev shal kolodam yisrael. In the same way, we have to dig deeply with a great effort in order to uncover the treasure that of yirashamayim, the treasure of sensitivity to godliness that is hidden and concealed in the heart of every Jew. Shehi b'chino madrega shelamayla mihazman. This understanding of the heart, this quality of godliness in the heart of every Jew, is higher than time, is above time. V'hi hayira hativis hamasuteres hanal, and it is the natural hidden love that every Jew has, which we were talking about before. So the analogy is that if you seek it, if you search for it the way you search for a hidden treasure, you will certainly find it. The searching for a hidden treasure is actually a combination of what seems to be a contradiction. If, on the one hand, you have to search for something, that means that it's not available, that you may not even know where to look. You're not sure that you have it or that it's available to you, and that's why you have to go looking. It's lost. On the other hand, we're saying that every Jew has, by nature, this element of fear, that he is guaranteed that he will find it. If it's guaranteed to be found, then why is there a need for searching? And if there's a need for searching, then maybe he won't find it. That implies that something is lost and will not be found. So the idea here is that when he's seeking a hidden treasure, it means that he knows for sure that the treasure is there. It's not that he's looking for something that he doesn't know for sure, that he has any doubts about. It's not that he's going around looking for where the treasure is. He knows where the treasure is, and that's why he's guaranteed that he will find it. Why then does there need to be a search? The search means that he has to dig. He knows where to dig. He knows where the treasure is hidden, but it is hidden. And because it is hidden, he needs to dig it out. So on the one hand, he knows for sure where it is, but on the other hand, it's not easily available to him because it's buried. And that's why the Mishlei, the Pasuk, chooses this analogy: if you seek godliness or fear of God, as you seek a buried treasure. Seeking a buried treasure doesn't mean you wonder where it is. Seeking a buried treasure means you know where it is, but it demands a certain amount of effort to uncover it because it is buried. In the same way, the fear that every Jew has in his heart, he knows on the one hand that it is there because it is the nature of every Jewish soul. On the other hand, it is above time, it is buried within the heart, and it needs to be brought down into practical application. So on the one hand, it is above time. Time doesn't affect it. Time can't destroy it. So even if he sinned, he is guaranteed that it is still there. While on the other hand, because it is above time, it is buried and not easily accessible. To bring it into time, and for that you need to uncover it and reveal it. In order to bring this fear of heaven, the fear that every Jew has in his heart, to bring it into actual expression in the fear of sin, so that he will avoid sin, so that he will refuse to sin. That's the application. The practical application of fear of God is that he doesn't sin. And this avoidance of sin has to be not only b'maise, but also in dibur, and even in machshava. So to bring that fear into the avoidance of evil on all three levels, not only action, but also speech and also thought, he has to reveal it from the hidden depth of the heart, which is above time, in order to bring it down from that place above time, to bring it down into time, into practical application. And he begins by bringing it into thought. He dwells on this awareness, this presence of fear within the heart. He dwells on the greatness of God for a certain amount of time, literal time. In other words, he's going from a state that is above time into a state of time. He brings this awareness into time. And then, having brought it into time, he can then bring it into action. That he avoids evil. In fact, he also does good. It comes down into positive actions, not only b'machshava, but also in dibur, and even in maisa. So that from a state of above time, it comes down not only in the avoidance of evil, staying away from bad things, which is not a practical application, or not the most practical application. But it also comes down in the doing of good, which is really getting down into practical action world, not only in thought, not only in speech, but also in deed. And as the Alter Rebbe said in the previous chapter, that Yiras Hashem is necessary also in the doing of positive mitzvahs. Pnei Hashem Hatzeifo Mabitu Mazinu Makshiv, because of God who looks and observes, hears and listens. God sees what is visible and hears what is audible and knows what is neither visible nor audible. And because he is aware of God's presence, that God is watching and listening and knowing, that leads him to avoid the sin and to do the mitzvah. As we find in the Mishnah, consider, contemplate three things, that God sees and God hears, and the result will be that you will not come to sin. So we see that this contemplation brings the fear of God, which is above time, into practical application, that you don't come to sin. In the Hayem Yem for Chof Aleph Nisan, which is Shvi Yishol Pesach, the Rebbe writes that Be'ez Kriyas Hashira Emdim, that we read the Shiras Hayam, and during the reading of the Shiras Hayam, we're supposed to stand. In Lubavitch, Fleckman Zayin Eif, Shvi Yishol Pesach. Eich, Shvuos, Neshana Rabba. There were three times in the customs of Lubavitch, there were three nights in which we stayed awake all night. Shvi Yishol Pesach, and Shvuos, and Neshana Rabba. As Ibn Alt given 9 years, of the Shenishge Lake Shlof, and Shvi Yishol Pesach. When I was 9 years old, Chilik Rebbe says, when I was 9 years old, I already did not go to sleep on the seventh day of Pesach, seventh night. Medarf lernen a ganze Nacht. The idea is that one should study the entire night.